Thank you. say that from the bottom of your heart. Yes, Lord, have your way with me.
Amen.
But I can tell you that if he has his way with you today, you will go away a better person.
That's right.
And closer to him, not further.
That's right.
We believe that, so we just want to just turn to the Lord here, just prayer just for a moment. I'll say it's good to have Brother Mike with us and Sister Becky.
Amen.
And good to hear the testimonies of how the Lord has brought her through this trial and that family through this trial. And you know, the trials only make you strong.
That's right.
And then, when it's over with, it causes you to love the Lord just that much more.
Oh, yeah.
And so we know that. They say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But you know what? A Christian, Satan can't kill us.
Right.
Amen? It's already done. So, you know, when a trial comes your way, you know what's going to happen.
That's right. That's right.
You know the devil's going to get his hand slapped.
Uh-huh.
Amen? And you're going to come out better. So we thank the Lord for that. It's good to be with you. Let's let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And we just, as Brother Daniel said, just want the revival to continue on. You know, the Christian should be in revival every day.
That's right.
And so we certainly want to have, as Brother Tim said, the right attitude this morning. We want to worship the Lord. And he always goes where he's invited. And so we invite him for this morning, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Amen.
Right.
So if we'll go ahead and turn to the scriptures, we're going to read in Luke chapter 7. Finally turned off winter for a few days. So I think I'm like Brother Tim. I'm ready. He said, I'm ready for some snow or springtime, one or the other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some snow and then springtime, okay? Amen. Luke chapter 7, we begin reading verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bid him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.
All right.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. What a wonderful story.
It's not, brother.
Amen. Now let's go with just one scripture in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. Again, she has it on the screen there. says, and in that day. What day is that? It's talking about this day. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning to be here in the house of God this morning with those of Black Precious Faith, those that we love, and Lord, that love your word. And to be here at this time set aside that your glory, Lord, it could come and be known to us and we could just worship you. And there would be a great reciprocation between us and you, Lord, as we worship you and as you give to your word to us this morning, Lord. We each one, even me as a minister, I present myself available to you this morning, Lord. And God, that each one of us, as we surrender to you, you'd have your will would be accomplished. And God, that we would act out what you desire this morning. We ask, Lord, that you touch every heart. God, that if there's any needs, we know there is. We ask, God, that you would touch and meet those needs. And Lord, let your word go forth and heal that which is wrong and that which needs attention this morning in your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. This morning I want to talk to you about the Christian stand or the Christian stance, where Christians stand. And so the Christians, where Christians stand or what their stand is, you know, with every situation and everything that comes along, every topic that there is, the Christian has a stand. You know, they say everybody has an opinion, and that's true. But and so we could when we say what is the Christian stance or stand, we're talking about where do they stand on issues? Why do they stand where they do? And what do they stand for? And so why do they do it? Because for every situation and every topic they have a stand, just like anybody else does. And so we want to talk about it this morning, and I will say that, you know, that this is not the time for the Christian to be a compromise.
Right.
In an hour, especially in an hour where everything's happening the way it is out in the world, and they're really working overtime to make the Christian silence, and so that there's no expression whatsoever of what true Christianity is, or even things that is not so true. They don't want anything that resembles in the direction of Christ. They don't want it. And so this is certainly not an hour for us to compromise or be intimidated and be made to believe that we should hush and keep quiet, because when you do that as a Christian, you're doing exactly opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Right.
And so, because remember, Jesus said a city set on a hill cannot be hid.
Right?
Think about that. If you want to hide your city, you better not put it on a hill.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the thing, because what is this great city that come down out of heaven, right, that sits upon this mountain? It's the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. So the church is not to be hid. They're to be expressing what they are in Jesus Christ. We got just a little bit of rain up here, Ben. I don't really need any monitor myself. And so, you know, real Christians, with their stance, where they choose to stand, I don't know if I'd say choose, but where they stand is an oddity. It's odd. It's odd to the world. And they're odd, and I'm talking about true Christianity. I'm not talking about this nonsense. But true Christianity is an oddity to the world and an oddity to even the Christian, so-called Christian world. We're odd.
Yeah.
Because we won't stand where they stand. We won't believe and stand on issues where they stand. And there has to be a reason why. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is where this comes from. Why do we stand where we stand? It's not just because we decide we want to be different. That's
right.
Not it.
Right.
I don't want to be different. I'd like to fit in just like everybody else would like to fit in.
Right.
But you know what? There's something that says we can't do that. We can't fit in with the world.
Right.
And so we don't want to fit in with the world.
Right.
And we are constantly being bombarded with pressures and spirits to try and get us to give in.
Right.
And we certainly don't want to do that. We want to be that oddity if we have to. I don't want to be different, but if I have to stay with what is in me, cause me to go forward with the expression that I have. And so that's all I can do. It's all you can do. And so they're an oddity because the Christian world, the Christianity, has been hijacked. It's been hijacked. And so, you know, we find out, we read here in Isaiah, said that in that day, now think about this, in that day, seven women. Now, to the rest of the church world, they have rejected a prophet. They have not received the word that God sent through him. So they know nothing about church ages, seven church ages. Uh-huh. They know nothing about the fact that there would be seven women, in other words, seven churches, right? So seven church ages, and they all had their own little thing, and every one of them went away from the word. So there were seven churches, seven women, and it's talking about here at the end day, and in that day, and it's talking about the day when the Lord takes away the iniquity of the daughters of Zion. Now the daughters of Zion is his church, his bride, right? The church. And so right at the end time, when the church world, seven church ages, been all messed up, and seven church ages are trying to lay hold on Christ, and trying to be called by his name, right? Yep. Then in that hour, God's going to do something, and he's going to take away the iniquity of the church, of the bride, right? Not the church world, but the bride. And it's in that day, he said, that these seven churches, seven women would take hold of one man, talking about Christ, and they would say, we want to eat, we're going to have our own bread, we're going to eat our own bread, and we're going to wear our own apparel, but we want to be called by your name.
Come on.
Right? And so, if you look at that, you see what it's talking about. Remember, Laodicea, Christ was on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. And so, these seven churches would lay hold on Christ, and what they're saying is, we want to be called by your name, we want to be called Christians, but I tell you what, we're not going to eat the bread that you provide. Talking to the husband, right? Talking to the man. We're not going to eat the bread that you supply, and we're not going to wear the clothing that you supply. But we want to be called by your name. And that's your modern church world. They want to be called by Christianity, but they don't want to eat the bread of life, right? And they don't want to be clothed with the righteousness of the word, right? The bride is clothed with the word, so they don't want to do that. All right? So in that day, these seven churches, that's this day. And that's why I said it's all been hijacked, right? It's all been hijacked because they don't want the bread of life that he provides,
right?
Last time I noticed, the husband's supposed to provide for the wife, right? Provide her clothing, provide her food, all that, see?
Right.
And so, but they're saying, oh, we want to be called Christ, Christianity, but we don't want your word, and we don't want your clothing. And you know what? If you don't have his word and you don't have his clothing, you're not his.
Right?
Right. And so that's what we find out has happened. So they have a stance. Right? These seven women that take hold of one man, these seven churches, they have a stance where they stand, but they're not standing with the word. Right? Because they done said, we don't want it.
Yeah.
We just want your name. But it don't work that way.
Right.
So we want to have the right stance. We don't want to be like the church world that's been hijacked. We heard Friday night as Brother Tim Hagin was preaching, he said, you can have all the quotes, and may not be perfectly quoting him, but I'm placing it out there the way I want to present it. You can have all the quotes, memorize whatever, the message and so forth, but if you don't have understanding, with everything that you do, get understanding.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, you know, there's a lot to that. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we're talking about why do we stand where we stand. Of course, we know we want to stand with the word, but when people do not understand why there's rules and laws and things in place, when they do not see the benefit to that, they don't understand why it's there, then to them it's nothing but a bunch of legalism. Uh-huh. To them it's just somebody that doesn't want them to have a good time. Right? But see, and so it's just nothing but bondage. But once you learn that these rules and these laws are there for your protection, once you realize that, then it becomes life to you.
Yes, yes, sir.
See what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so the scripture says, well, the letter killeth, right? It does. Without the Holy Spirit in your life, the letter of the word killeth.
Right.
But with the Holy Spirit in your life, now you look at that word and you say, it's for my protection.
Yes,
and this is why he says, don't do this and do that and don't do this and do that. It's because it's for protection. But if you don't have an experience with God, then you look at that and it's just a bunch of rules and somebody trying to tell you that you can't have a good time.
That's right?
And being that we're born in this world with a nature that's lost, that needs to die and have a new birth, if that's where we're at, then when we look at something that says, don't let me have a good time, it's something that's condemning unrighteousness. See what I mean? But once you catch the revelation, then you realize this is for our good. This is life.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly.
What is that?
So what he does is he'll bring clarity to why these things are this way. When God says that don't do this and don't do that, there's a reason for that. And until we have a revelation of that, we will just think it's just a bunch of rules and nonsense. But we gotta come to that place where we have understanding. Right? So whenever everybody looks at us and says, I don't know what those people, why they stand where they do. I don't know why they have this opinion on this issue and they won't allow this and they won't allow that. The reason is because we've caught a revelation that this is for our benefit. This is how he extends life and extends it more abundantly. Right? And so when a person outside of that experience looks at it, that's all they know to say. It's just a bunch of rules, a bunch of nonsense. They can't do this. They can't do that. You know what? I don't want to do this and don't want to do that. See?
Yeah.
Whereas that at one time, maybe we did desire things, but something changed.
That's right.
And so without the understanding, it becomes rules. Joseph in the Bible raised up among his brethren, and he was spiritual. He represented Christ. And his brothers, he was different. Now, I've talked about this recently, but he was different. And his brothers hated him because of that. They hated him because he was spiritual. They hated him because he wasn't like them.
That's right.
Think about it.
That's right.
And so what did they do? They rejected him. They cast him out. And so, and as the story goes on, we realize that was actually Christ Jesus. And then way down the road, you know, when at first they cast him out because they don't understand. They don't understand what this is, why, so they cast it to the side saying, this is just a bunch of nonsense. But that nonsense that they cast to the side later on became the very source of life for them.
Yes,
and after that trial and that burden had fallen upon them, and they found out that actually this one that they had rejected is the very one that was a source of life in that hour for that tribulation they were having.
Right.
Think about it.
That's good stuff.
And so, a lot of times we reject the thing. We say, oh, it's nonsense. Just a bunch of rules. Just a bunch of things trying to keep me from having a good time. But let a few trials and tribulations come your way. And at some point, you realize, you know what? That gospel mommy and daddy told me about, that's where I need to go back to. That was actually life to me, and I was rejecting it.
Right.
That's what happens. See?
Right.
So a lot of times, and I'm saying this because if you look at these things and you say, that's just a bunch of nonsense, careful.
Right.
That's actually life.
Yeah, right.
Life being expressed to you.
Right.
And so Joseph and his brothers was a good example of that. So this Christian stance, when people look at us and go, why? That's crazy. All right, there's a reason for that. And it's not just because we decide we want to be that way.
Right.
So we want to try to get to the source of this. It's real simple.
That's good stuff.
It's real simple. We know that that there's only one source of life, and that's eternal life, Zoe. Right? The life, God's own life. He's the only one that's got it. Right? And then he shares it. Right? Through redemption, he shares it. But there's only one creator, and that's God. And only one source of life, and that's him.
Yeah.
Right? And so, he has a way that he wants to take that source of life that he is, and he has a channel that he's created that he might give that and share that eternal life. And I say it that way. I know that's predestinated from the foundation of the world, but you just bear with me. He has a way to share that life of his with his people that they too could have life in them. There's a channel. And that channel, we know it to be the gospel. Started way back in Genesis, comes all the way through Revelation. And every aspect and every turn, how God was going to bring to his people this life through every age and bring a great revelation of that life within his church at the end time, within his bride. He has a channel how he would do that. And so there's a channel that it comes, and then there's a product that comes through that channel that brings life. Okay? And so it's through the gospel. Remember, the scripture said through the foolishness of preaching.
Right?
So this channel sometimes looks foolish.
Right.
It does look foolish to the world, right? It looks foolish to the one that doesn't have a new birth. And not just the channel, but the thing that comes through the channel. It looks like foolishness. But through the preaching of the gospel, what the world calls foolish, that's the way he saves us. That's the way he brings it to us. And so you say all these things because you should be able, you know, people really, especially in this hour, need to be honest with themselves. Stop and say, what is it that's working inside of me? What is the opinion of my heart right now toward the Word, toward the prophet, toward Brother Tony and the church? What is my opinion? And you need to look at that and compare that opinion back to the Word, and you'll find out sometimes we have some things growing in us that ought not be there. We'll always want to let the Word purge us so that the only thing that's left inside us is that which is right.
That's right.
And so that's the way it works. So there's a channel, and there's a product that comes through that channel, and Satan has set out, he is at war against God. He is at war against anything that can deliver that channel, and deliver that word, and anything that it comes through. So the whole plan, the whole gospel, the way it's preached and all that, Satan wants to attack it. And he's not a creator, okay? We just mentioned that. He's not a creator. I love saying that. Satan is not a creator.
Right.
He's only a perverter.
Right.
He cannot create anything, just majestically come and have something that can just woo the people away from. He can't do it. He has to take what God has provided and pervert it. So this channel that God would send his teaching, his preaching through to save people, Satan will, he will pervert that channel. And the product that's supposed to be coming through that channel, Christ himself through the preaching of the word, he perverts that. So the end product is that for Satan, in order for him to be worshipped, he has to pervert the way the gospel is preached. Everything that God would try to do, he's got to be against it. Okay? Now keep in mind, there's seven women, seven churches, right? Take hope of one man. And so Satan's at war with it. And he's got into the church world, and he's perverted the church, and he's perverted their message. The church is the channel of the preaching of the word, comes through the church to be expressed to the world, and the message that they preach has been perverted. So when the world looks at the seven women who've taken hold of one man, who really don't have his apparel and they don't eat his word, when the whole world looks to them to try and find God, do they find him? No. They don't find God. They find some hybrid something, and they don't get to Christ. I can only take you to where I am. And if I'm perverting, I can't bring you anywhere but to perversion, right? See what I'm saying? So the church world that's all sold out to a bunch of compromise, that's the best they can do is bring people to compromise. So how are you going to fix it? The only way to fix it is to get back to the original spoken word, not the mixture of the word. But the original spoken word is the only way you can get people right back to the fountain of life that was there all along and was there in the beginning. So he's a perverter. So he's perverted the message that the churches preach, and he's perverted the churches. He perverted the channel that comes through. So when those seven women take hold of one man, that's what we have. They don't have him because the very thing they eat on didn't come from him. And the very expression that they make to the world that the world sees and they draw with draws people to nothing but an outer garment that he didn't provide. A righteousness that he didn't provide, right? So it's not righteous, it's unrighteous, right? That's what they do. Now, I was just thinking when I was meditating on this, and I was realizing, you know, that that to eat, now we're talking about these seven women, they eat and they wear, but they're not eating and wearing what he provided. To eat and to wear is kind of like what you believe and what you support. And so we understand that in the mark of the beast, and everybody's all the time see, oh, you know, this chip's coming out, and that's the mark, and this is happening, and that's the mark, and all that stuff. But you and I have we know better. We found out that mark in the right hand or the forehead, you can't go any other way except what the scripture lays for a foundation already. That when it's a mark in your forehead, it's what you believe. And in your right hand is what you bless. Yes. What you, and so if you think about it, when I said what you eat and wear is kind of like what you believe and what you support. So what you eat with your mind, what you believe with your mind, right? And what you support or express with your hand is your expression. Because remember, when people see you, they see your garment.
Right?
So these seven women who've taken hold of one man, and they're saying, you know what? We do not want your food, and we do not want your apparel. They've taken the mark.
Yeah.
See? Because they're believing a wrong word and expressing the wrong garment. Yeah. See what I mean? Right. We don't want any part of that. We want to have exactly what the Lord has provided for us to feast upon, and we want to have the righteousness that he has provided. Where it says in Revelation 19, the bride's made herself ready. She was granted to her that she'd be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And so we want to do that. You know, real Christians, now, when you look at this, and you know, it's really interesting, the religious system that's growing into that system that's eventually going to shut the church doors. One of the things they're really keying off of is that if there's anybody out there who believes that their system is the exclusive system, this is the way that you're saved, get rid of them. Yeah. Now, I've been watching this, you see, because what it is, it's all a melting together of all these religions, and so nobody can say that ain't right and that ain't right, we're right.
Yeah.
Right? So they come out against anybody that believes that they exclusively have truth.
Right? Yeah.
Right? So who has the truth? Christ is the truth.
Right.
And where he's at and what he's doing in his people is truth. And they're expressing truth. So you can rest assured that the system will come out against that because that's Christ.
Yeah. Right.
Amen? And that's what's going on. I don't want to get off on rabbit trail. There's a lot I can say about that. And I probably will shortly, Lord willing, but there's interesting things that's going on in the world, and it's nothing fearful for us. It actually is like, praise God, it's getting closer. We're getting ready to leave. We thank the Lord for knowing that. But when you look at the difference between a real Christian and that church system out there, they're both birthed to something, right? But there's a difference. And so we realize that true Christians, that we are born by the incorruptible seed by the word of God. As you'll pull that up in 1 Peter, and I think I have it here. We're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we're born, the true church is born of a seed that cannot be corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot, says it right there, incorruptible. By the seed of, by the word of God, right? So that's what we're birthed to. And so when we're born into a realm where the word of God and the will of God is supreme.
Right.
Okay? I'm still talking about why do we have a stand that we stand here in this life? When people look at us and they see where we stand on matters, why is it? I'm getting into the meat of that now. So when we're born, we're not born to a church system. We're not born to some movement that man started and we all get together and we all believe the same thing and we like this and all that. We are born by the word of God, the incorruptible seed by the word of God. That's what we're birthed to. And anytime that you're born into something, you're born into a realm where things happen.
Yeah.
Right? And so like in this realm, we have touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. And Brother Bim tells us this is the way we contact our home. When we are birthed into that Word of God, and we're born into a realm where the Word of God and the will of God is supreme, we're birthed into a dimension where things are going on. And it's the will of God, and it's the Word of God, and it's all that's there.
Yeah.
It's His perfect will. And everything that's right, and everything that's true. And so in that dimension, there's no adultery. There's no nonsense, no this, no that. In that dimension, it's all, as he said, was beyond sublime.
Yeah.
Think about that. Well, Brother Bram is standing on that other side, and he said, there wasn't any sin. There couldn't be any wrong. Wasn't any lying. Nothing like that. He said it was sublime, couldn't even touch what that dimension was. And in that dimension, when he said, well, if Paul was preaching and he's accepted, then I'll be accepted because I haven't deviated one bit or divvied one bit from what he's preached. And in that dimension where there could be no lie, no pain, no sorrow, we all shouted, we're resting on that. So in that dimension that we're birthed into, it matters that Brother Branham stayed with Paul.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And so when people call him a woman hater, Paul, they have to call Brother Branham a woman hater.
Yeah.
And they have to call us a woman hater because we're birthed into a dimension where the Word is supreme.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
So when we're birthed by the Word into that dimension, we have a touch and a taste and a see and a smell and a hear, as it were, in that dimension. We touch and we taste and we see and we smell things in that dimension of the sublime Word of God. This is what we're birthed to. Not to a religious system. Not even to a Jeffersonville or anything like that, or Donnie Reagan's church or our church. Not to a church. We're birthed to a word that cannot fail.
That's right.
Right? Incorruptible word. That's what we're birthed to. And when we're birthed in that dimension, we see things.
Uh-huh.
We hear things in the Spirit.
Right.
We understand things. That's the real realm that we're birthed to.
Yeah.
Okay? Where the Word of God is supreme. And in that dimension, there is no room for compromise.
Right.
There's no tommy rod, no horseplay,
yeah,
no lollygagging. In that realm, Jesus said, I come to do the will of my Father.
Right.
And that was to save them which are lost. Not save the whole world, right? But to save those who were once there. Because, as Brother Bram said, redemption only applies, right, in predestination, because the word redeem means to bring back.
That's right.
So God came to save those which were lost.
Mm-hmm.
How could you be lost if you weren't there first and then come lost?
That's right.
So that's what redemption is. And so we're birthed into that realm where there's no room for nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a Christian, that's our birth. But in our body, we're still standing right here where denominations rule supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And sin runs rampant. And we actually have a body that go that way,
yep,
with the world. But in our being, we've been birthed to something else. And we see the will of God and the plan of God. And why? Now I'm getting back to what I said a while ago. If you don't understand why, it's just a bunch of rules and a bunch of bondage.
Right.
We're birthed into a realm where we see why. We understand why these have to be this way. Why it has to be and why this and why that. We understand that. See?
Yeah.
And so, all of a sudden, these rules and regulations and all this strictness, it's not a bunch of legalism to us anymore. It's not a bunch of bondage to us anymore. Why? We realize it's life because now we've been birthed into a realm where we're looking at the Word of God and the will of God and what it's all about. And so, while we're living in this life as a Christian, this is not what's supreme anymore.
Right.
This world's not supreme, and not even my own fleshly desires is not supreme anymore, because now I've had a new birth, and I've been birthed to another realm, and I'm listening to things that's happening in that realm, and I'm watching things in that realm. You say, how you do that, brother? Well, in prayer, in meditation, in worship, in reading of the Word, I'm seeing the plan of God and the will of God coming across in my day, and I see right where, why it has to be where it has to be now. I can see exactly why that Luther could be okay in his day, but you can't be with Luther now and be okay. I can see that, why it has to be that way, why there had to be a prophet, why the world had to reject it. See what I'm saying? I see why there has to be hardship come to us, and yet on the other side of that hardship comes victory and a closer walk with God. We see how all this program works now. So in our spirit, we're caught up, and that's what we're following, and that's what we're birthed to. And yet in our flesh back here, we're still in a world that wants to be different.
Right. That's right.
And all we can do in this life is do our best to express what's in that life. What's in that other realm? That's the best that we can do. And I'll tell you, the true Christian that's really been birthed to that realm, that's all he wants to do. He might be stuck in time. He might be stuck in a body that's tries to be contrary to the gospel every day. But all that person wants to do in their heart is express what's going on in that other dimension.
Yeah.
The truth that's circulating there. That's all we want to do. Has expressed Christ to this generation. So when this generation has a different idea on matters, you can't go there. You cannot go there. You couldn't with your own mental thinking and decide, well, I'll just go there. If you do, you'll be so grieved in your heart because you're going with something that's not with your birth. See what I'm saying? And this is what happens. Sometimes we get lax in our walk, and Satan gets something over on us, and next thing you know, we're endorsing this world just a little too much.
Come on.
We're just hanging out in worldly things and worldly thoughts and worldly places or conversations or whatever you fill it in.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you find yourself like it, and then the Lord has to spank you. And you realize, I shouldn't have been over here. I should be right over here where it's the Word is supreme, and that's what I'm consumed with. And so Satan's a master at tricking you up so that he gets you to manifest to something in this life that doesn't match what's in that realm.
Right?
As Brother Brandon said, we want to act out what the Holy Ghost says do.
Right.
And when we say that, we're talking about what we're birthed to.
Yeah.
That truth of the Word that's everlasting all around us, has been here all these ages and is wants to live in us. It's the person of the Word, okay? It's a personal relationship we're talking about of the Word, because the Word is Christ. So, that's all we can do is try to point to that realm. And when people stand there going, you're wrong, you can say, I'm sorry. It's the Word. It's truth. It's there. I can't go any other route. And so, now I'm going to drop a bombshell on you. If you try to mix the two, if you're going to try to take a little bit of this world and what's going on out here, and you try to take some of that realm, and you try to mix those together, and this is what happened in the church world, you become an enemy to God.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll read a few scriptures, and this may sound harsh, but I want to make sure this nail gets stuck really good. So James chapter 4, verse 4. Look at this. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Does anybody want to be friends of the world?
No.
What about the world in here? You want to be friends with this? I don't want to be an enemy to God. Right? But you are if you try to pander to this. If you try to pander to society, to the religious systems, to the Catholic Church, to the governments, all that, if you deviate from the Word and try to satisfy them, you're an enemy to God.
Right.
Why? We'll talk about it in a minute. Why? Why is that so important? It is important. It's deadly important.
Right.
Okay? You become enemies to God. And then let's go to the next one, which is Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're familiar with this. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon."
Right.
You cannot serve God and man. Man's system. World system. As Brother Graham called it, cosmos.
Yeah.
The cosmos of this world. Nothing wrong with a beautiful mountain scenery and a sunset and those kind of things, but the cosmos of man and his ideas and his system, that's what we're talking about. And then the next one is James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now look where this places us. If we try to take revelation from the Word of God and mix it with creeds or with world thoughts, and we'll do it this way, Brother Branham really didn't mean that, it's not that important, and just mix it. When that happens, guess where you're at? God says you're double-minded. One day you want to endorse this, but the next day you're off over here endorsing that, and the next day you're back to this. You're unstable in all your ways. Think about it. I said no room for compromise.
Right.
I think we could all agree that in that realm that we're birthed to, there is no compromise.
Yeah.
Right? So we have something that's birthed inside us that belongs there. And what's that life that's actually inside us has no room for compromise.
Amen.
But when we find ourselves in compromise, we're now grieved. Mm-hmm. You grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Evidently, you can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But the Scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. So we want to live in this life in a manner where we don't grieve that dimension or the life that's in us that belongs to that dimension. We want to live in such a way that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so Scripture said we're unstable in all ways if we're double-minded, and that if we try to be friends with the world, then we become an enemy to God. And I don't want to be an enemy to God. So what was it? Think about it. What was it that caused Laodicea to be spewed out of his mouth? Was it because they didn't serve God at all? They weren't religious at all? No, that's not it at all. They were religious. They were religious. But they had the same message as them seven who took hold of one man, because the seventh one is who we're talking about, Laodicea. Right? Because they said, hey, we don't need nothing from you, Christ. We don't need a thing. We got everything we need. We're rich and increased with goods. He said, you don't even know that you're blind, miserable, poor, wretched, naked. Do they know it? They don't know it. Right? And the only thing is that if a person's walking out on the street naked, and you walk up and say, you're naked, and they say, leave me alone, there's nothing wrong with me, then you know that person's insane. They're either insane or they are idolaters.
Yeah.
Think about it. The heathens, they run around naked, right? What about in America? They run around that way. And you know that when you talk to people and you try to convince them that they're naked, and they tell you to leave them alone, that there's nothing wrong with them, they are insane. They're not in the right mind. So this Laodicean church age is insane. Remember Brother Graham said, insanity filling? He said, eventually get to the place, because it used to send people into the insane asylum. He said, just look around now. The whole world's become the insane asylum.
Right.
Yeah? And we're thinking, well, I don't see people down the street and nothing. No, but they're insane.
That's right.
Because you try to tell them that they're naked before God, and they tell you, leave me alone.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
So they're insane.
Yeah.
Right? Remember the prodigal son? When he ate, he couldn't live in daddy's house no more because he didn't like daddy's rules. And so he went off out to live his own way. And the Scripture said he got off out there and he got into tribulation. But he said he got out there and he came to himself.
Right.
He come to his right mind.
Right.
And when he come to his right mind, he said, I got to get back to daddy. I got to get back to that real gospel that was right to begin with, that I should have never left
right.
When he come to his right mind. But oh God, I pray that my friends and my family and my loved ones have gone off out there chasing after glories of the world that they think that God will be merciful to them, that one day they'll lift up their eyes and say, I have sinned against God and against my what I've left, and head right back to the thing that they know to be truth.
Amen.
You keep praying for them. You keep praying for all your loved ones that God will be merciful and that that's what will happen. But as I said before, what if the daddy had compromised? What if the daddy would have said, you know, son, there's no need in you leaving. I'll just slack up the rules around the house. I'll just slack up. I'll let you go ahead and do things that's not really, I really don't want you to do, but I'll just go ahead and let you do it. What if he'd have done that? That son would have never went out there, never went into tribulation. He had never learned a lesson. He had never come to his right thinking.
Right.
Right? So there's no room for compromise.
Amen.
It's through you being different and them rejecting you that God can work redemption through you to bring them back. But if you compromise, there's nothing to bring them back to. Amen. You think about that.
Right.
Man, there's nothing to bring them back if you compromise. If it comes to the place where they come, they shut the doors, if they put us on the rack and stretch us, our limbs apart, God be merciful to us that we never reject this word and say it's right, it's him all the way.
Yep.
So they got rejected, and Laodicea got rejected because they were lukewarm, right? They were lukewarm. They mixed Christianity and worldly together, and that's what happened to them. So the Christian is birthed to this realm, and they're birthed to this realm where the Word of God and the will of God are supreme. And in that, when you see that, when you see what He is and what He's done for you, you see that, then all you want is for the whole world to see that. For the whole world to be partakers of this same thing that has saved you and brought, drawn you out. That's all you want. You just want the whole world. And so it's number one priority to you as a true Christian when you're birthed to that realm. It's a number one priority to you that I have got to point to that. In everything I say, in everything I do, everywhere I go, I've got to point to Him. I've got to get people to see Him. Because He's the only one that's worthy to point anybody to. We can't point to a football player. We can't point to a movie star or a singer. We can't point to good preachers. We can't point to these. We got to point to Him who is life, Him that is truth, that dimension where everything is correct and right that we're born to. That's what's burning in our heart, is that realm. And it's the same realm that was that rock that come out and it smites and it's going to grow into the whole earth and become a mighty kingdom. That's what we're talking about. It comes into you and smites that image of idolatry in you. Smites that and grows and becomes something greater, like that button he was talking about, the Holy Ghost growing. It grows inside of you. It's a great mountain. What does that mean? It's something significant to you. It's not just a little bitty molehill, but it's something significant to you. It makes a difference to you. It's a mountain, and the whole world has to see it.
Amen.
See, you can't hide it. And if you're able to hide it, there's something wrong with your experience.
Right.
You can't hide it. Even on pain of death, you can't hide it.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
So
our heart is birthed to that realm, and we must give service to Him who is that realm we're talking about. It's the person of Christ. We can't do anything but point to Him. This is why we stand where we stand. This is why when everybody else wants to be different and go off in some man-made system, we've got to stand here alone many times and just point to Him and say, it's Him. It's not that. It's not this. It's not these other things that are compromised mixtures of the Word with the world. But it's the purity of the Word of God, the life of Jesus Christ Himself, which is that spoken Word being the original seed. That's all we can point to. We cannot point to these other things. Why? Because there is no redemption in them. I could point to you to the best gospel singer in the world. And you could listen to them every waking moment until you die and be lost. Because redemption's not in that. You see what I'm saying? I can have you, whatever you want to chase after, you could be 100% to it and be lost because there's no life in it. So they're not, none of these things is worthy to be pointed to in any form or fashion whatsoever, but it's Christ Jesus. That's why, you know, I very seldom do anything on Facebook. But if you'll notice, I don't post a bunch of nonsense out there. You'll notice that when I post something, very seldom, but when I do, it's usually something pertaining to the gospel. I don't know if I've ever done anything other than that. Because I don't want to be guilty of pointing people to stuff that's not right. And though there's been many times we all have, but this is a time for us to really tighten up and say, God, I want to get to the place where I'm not pointing to anything except Christ and Him alone. That dimension that I'm birthed to and I can see living down inside me. And God, I want to get to the place where anything that's hindering that, I shove it off to the side. And that's what I'm going to live in this life, even if it costs me dearly in this life. You know, Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross, deny yourself, follow me, right? You're not even worthy of me, right?
Exactly.
Now think about it. What do you do with crosses? Uh-huh. You crucify on it. Think about it. He says, unless you pick up your cross, something in your life that you got to nail to that cross and that you got to make sure that it dies, you're not even worthy,
yeah.
Right? See? So that we should, like I said a while ago, we need to be honest with ourselves and say, God, what do I need to crucify?
Right.
What is in the way? Where am I pointing to something other than the source of life Himself?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what you need to do. I need to do that. You need to do that. Every day we need to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Constantly, you know, our desire is constantly to say, am I pleasing my Lord? Is this what He would like? Is this what He would want? What is the will of God? Constantly, all day, every day. That's right.
Good stuff.
If we're not doing that, then it's being overshadowed by something else. We're taking that candle and we're hiding it under a bushel. See what I'm saying? The desire of a real Christian is to do none other than to express Jesus Christ to everyone around us.
Exactly right.
That they too might know this source of life and be birthed to this dimension.
Yeah.
That's all that we want.
That's right.
And so we find out this woman in Luke, we read about. She was, Pharisees had invited Jesus to come there. And they invited Him to come there. And you realize, we know they really just brought Him there for mockery. Like denominational systems like that, people invite you to the church. Oh, come to our church, you know. Act like they want to hear what you have to say. And all they really want to do is get you to stand out over in the corner so they can dance around and show you what they are.
Right.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Never give you a chance to express anything. A lot of times that's what's going on. Even in the workplace, things like this happen.
Yeah.
Satan will set you up. People have a conversation set up to try and trap you and trick you. And that's all it is, see? They just want to make a mockery of you.
Mm-hmm.
Act like, come in here. We want to know what you think about this.
Right.
What's your stance on it? And all they really want to do is just make a mockery of you. Well, this is what happened. They invited Jesus there. They didn't have no real desire to hear what He had to say. But this Pharisee had invited Him there. And this woman, the scripture said this woman who was a sinner, I'm assuming that she was probably a harlot. Okay, and knowing for the message, see. So, but she, the scripture said, her being a sinner, that she saw that He had been invited there. And, you just kind of read in the scriptures there, but you could see that she understood who He was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she understood that He, the source of life, the only one that should be put on a pedestal, the one who should be heard, the one that everybody needs to get to, right? And she saw Him being invited into the Pharisee's house, and she saw that the Pharisee was not putting Him on the pedestal where He needs to be, where all might be saved by His presence.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So she saw that. And her having that same thing I'm talking about had been this revelation of who he is, the personal revelation of Jesus Christ, she couldn't stand it. And so she came in there and she couldn't do anything but do service to her king.
Yeah.
Right? She had to honor him. And so being what it was, is the fact he was going to be going to Calvary and the burial, there was something in the Word of God that was right for that moment for him. And she was quickened to that. And she had to do service to that Word to match the hour that was going on at the moment.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Because today, there's something in us, and it's crying out to match the service that we need to do to the Word in this hour, that Christ would be glorified. And so we're just like her. She couldn't stand it. Here he is, the one that should be, the one who should be, everybody should be listening to, and all these religious systems, they invite him in there, and they don't have one desire to hear what he has to say, and for him to be on display, they just want to make a mockery of him. And I'm just like her. I can't stand it when I see that people claim to invite Christ into their church system or claim to invite him into this or into that, and he's really only there for a mockery. They have no desire really to show the world him through those things. They just want to show the world their thing with him present to say, oh yeah, he was present.
Yeah.
He's present in my little meeting I have.
Yeah.
Yep, he was here, all right, sitting over in the corner.
Wow.
Think about it.
Well,
sitting in the corner. And so, while everybody else was inviting him, and I'm going to try to say it this way, but while everybody else was inviting him to their service, to their service or to their function, while everybody was inviting him to their celebration, while everybody was inviting him to their tradition, while everybody was inviting him to their holiday traditions, think about it. Oh, we want him to be present in our traditions, in our church, in our holidays. We're going to call it by his name. But he's really not what displayed.
Right.
Something else is displayed. Right? So, there you have it. While he was doing that, everybody else was inviting him like that. He just raked over her. I can't stand it. The churches are not displaying him. The holidays, they're not displaying him. They're not telling the world the truth. There's a realm where the Word of God is supreme, and it's all passing and doing, and this is why I got to get people to see. See what I mean? So we can't stand it when the government doesn't feature him. We can't stand it when the schools don't feature him. We can't stand it when the movies and the television and the music and the radio and the apparel and the dresses and the clothes and stuff they have in the shop. We can't stand it when they don't endorse him. They're not pointing to him, that source of life. That's why we have to take the stand we do. That's why we have to be different, because it breaks over us that they're not expressing him, but yet they're calling by his name.
Right.
So we have to do him service. And that is to honor the Word in this hour and do service to the Word in this hour for what is called for in this hour. Amen. That's the difference. As I said a while ago, you know, I could, this being Christmas time, it's not a Christian holiday. It's not. I know, and I understand what Brother Ram said, and I understand about kids and all that. You know, they don't understand. That's fine. Let every man be persuaded in his own heart, but I have a responsibility myself to tell you the truth. And it's not a Christian holiday.
Right.
Not trying to be tell you can't have fun.
Right.
I think it's nice, the nice environment everybody gets in, but it's all because of a Catholic holiday.
Right.
See? I always said, if you want to impress me, walk up to me some odd day of the year and say, Brother Tony, here, have this gift. I appreciate you. That would get my attention. But I've always felt weird when I receive gifts from people at Christmas time. Because when I want to thank them, I would always feel like my thanking them was fake.
Right.
Even though I generally really did appreciate what they gave me and wanted what they gave me, but I felt like it was fake because the whole thing just didn't seem right to me.
Right.
Even though as a kid, I loved toys and stuff. You know, I loved it. You can call it a magical time of the year. But see, it's a pagan holiday that Rome come along, and through all the other things that they did along with it, to bring Christians over and actually bring them over to where they start. This is Christ. Christ is in it when it ain't nothing but a pagan ritual of some sort.
Right.
And they mix and they bring. So look what we did. 7 women taking home one man. They want to be called by his name, but he's really not what they're all about. And so here they express it, oh, it's Christ, it's Christ, it's Christ, and he wasn't even born at that time.
Right.
That was some pagan holiday that they had when the moon or the sun gets to that place down there where it turns around and comes back or whatever they call it, right? And they bring it into a Christian, and it's not just America, it's the whole world.
Yeah.
I have people from overseas who'll write me and say, Merry Christmas. It's the whole world. See? And they come along and they do Easter that way and they do all these things like, why? It's all a mixture.
Yeah.
All a mixture. And here we are, most of the Christian world going, oh, it's Christ, Christmas. Oh, let's put Christ back in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? Now, I didn't look the quote up, but I will. But I remember hearing this quote. Brother Ram talks about whenever they kill the two prophets. And they take and they send gifts to one another, rejoicing because they've overcome that prophet. And he tied that spirit to Christmas. Exchanging gifts. Let me tell you something. It was God's gift to man. And it was man's gift to him. Not man's gift to each other.
Right?
That's what it is. God's gift to us, that Christ came. And it was the wise men who were giving gifts to him to honor what he is, point to what he is.
Yeah. That's right.
That's what it was. And when you and I exchange gifts with each other, that's not what we're doing. We're not honoring him.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
We've got to honor him. And that's why it rakes over us, see? We're not trying to be fuddy-duddies, but we want to be what's right. And so we do not want to point to something that's watered down.
Yeah, right.
We live in an hour of the spoken word, the original seed. It's a perfect word been restored, and that's what we want to point to.
Right.
You want to get your kiddie something or whatever, that's fine. Whatever, you work that out. But we make sure that we're pointing to him and him alone and not something else.
Right.
They take the attributes that belong to Jesus Christ and apply it to some Kris Kringle or whatever it is. And Brother Ram said Kris Kringle. I love it. Santa Claus. And I don't know if anybody else has said this, but I started this a long time ago. Satan Claus.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I mean?
Right.
Tell your kids the truth.
Right.
Stand for what's right. I don't care if they do frown on you.
Right.
I know I'm a fuddy-duddy.
Right.
My family and different ones, you know, in-laws and different people, they love going out looking at Christmas lights. I've done it many times. But I'll have to tell you, there's little something down inside me that's grieved, that doesn't want to do that. I love the time with my family. It's beautiful. I think it's wonderful. But it's not featuring Christ.
Right.
And so something in me has always been grieved. Whenever we get a Bible video and say, oh, there's a Bible movie come out. And my kids and my wife, they probably get so aggravated at me because I sit right there and I can't do anything but speak out against the things where they deviate from Scriptures. I can't stand it. And that's why I've seen this over and over and over.
Yeah.
And that's why you hear me say Hollywood cannot produce it. They cannot produce something that's right. See? Now I'm telling you where I'm standing.
Right,
see, I'm trying to tell you, I have a stand, and unless you understand why, you'll think it's a bunch of legalism and all that, but it's not legalism, it's life.
Amen.
And there's why, because we've got to get people to him, because without him, you're lost.
Right.
Right.
And that's why we point to him the way we do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just being a fuddy-duddy, that's why I don't like the music. That's why I sit down and I ain't seen one yet. They don't have some soundtrack behind it. It's got rock and roll in it somewhere. They always put that in there.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So let's just don't even go there is what I'm getting at. See? We gotta tighten up and come to that place where we're only pointing to Christ, featuring Christ Jesus.
Good stuff, brother.
And so that's what we want. I don't like the modern religion and apparel and all the thinking and everything that comes along with it. Brother Ram took that religious, modern religious system, this harlot system and the daughters, he took that mentality and this scientific mentality, and he brought it all together, talking about the God of this modern age. A scientific religion hybrid something.
Yes.
Right? And that's what they go after. And so if you dare to not go with all that and stand and point to Christ Jesus and him alone, you will be an oddity. You will be standing alone by yourself. But see, that is why. It's not that we want to be different, but we've got to point to him. We don't want to point anywhere else.
Amen.
So the whole world's going off after these things. By the grace of God, we will never preach there's three gods. Right. Never baptize in titles.
Right.
We'll never do that.
Right.
They've gone after hook, line, and sinker. I want to tell you something. I was, I don't get off a rabbit trail, but the Catholic Church, you know, years ago they had a split. Many, 1000 AD or whatever, it had split. They've come back together. And while they were in that split, each one of them had their own pope. And they'd excommunicate one another constantly. Just this one didn't recognize that one, that didn't recognize that. Well, they, sometime back, not too far, they've come to an agreement where they accept one another. And they said, well, we're just going to forget all this and not, you know, act like it never happened. Okay? So it's the Roman Catholic, East Orthodox. Come back together. Right? And what they did is they said, okay, we all agree and accept one another now, and anybody can go from this church over to this one, and this one does not have to require that one to be rebaptized, and so one can go from here and go to there, and we won't require that one to be rebaptized, so they used to require it. They used to, but they don't require it now, see? They've come so, and so their focal point was like, well, we baptize the same. So there's no need for us to make somebody. We're coming together such. As long as you have our baptism, you're okay. Right?
Yes.
So that's what they've done. Well, I was on the World Council of Churches website the other day, and I downloaded their bylaws. Thought, okay, I wonder what you got to do to be a member of the World Council of Churches.
Wow.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't but about... Well, it was right off the top. The first bullet they had there on requirements, what was required, right off the bat, Trinity baptism. The Catholic's baptism. That's not Christian baptism.
Right.
That's
right.
Catholic
exactly.
baptism.
Exactly right.
And that's what it was there.
Exactly
and
right.
About two more bullets later, because nobody can be part of it unless you believe in this Father, Son. They say the one true God, and then he put in parentheses, Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Right? And then baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And a couple bullets later it said, and one other requirement every church who wants to be part of this is that you have to recognize the baptism of all other churches in the system. In other words, you don't require anybody to be baptized if they come to your fellowship. Because they've got the same baptism.
Right.
And what baptism do they have? The Catholic baptism.
Catholic.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Bunch of hybrid, so we'll never preach Trinity. Baptizing titles. Right? Never endorse the harlot religion, the whore, great whore, and the harlot daughters.
Can't do it.
Not rock and roll in the church, or anywhere, not just in the church.
Right.
See? We'll not endorse those things. And I don't care if they want to come and run over us with bulldozers.
Right.
We can't do anything
right.
except interact to the dimension we're birthed to.
We're fine.
That's all we can do.
Right.
Let come what may. You know what? I'm going to say this, and I'll try to close.
Good stuff.
I have failed the Lord in so many ways. And you can say, you know what? Me too. I have failed him in so many ways. I'm like that woman. See? I may never mount up to much of what I want to be for him. But there's one thing that I always want to do, and that is point to him.
Yeah.
Do him service. Show that he's the one, and all this other stuff is just making a mockery of him. He's the only one. You see what I mean? That's what we want to do. It's always point to Jesus Christ.
Right.
So we can't do anything and speak against those things that don't point to Christ. When somebody comes on and says, Tim, you know, come follow me. I've got, we're showing you truth. And they're not pointing to this vindicated spoken word. I can't endorse it.
Right.
I don't care what it is. I cannot endorse it. We've got a Christ who was resurrected out of history, and he's been made alive in our day.
Yeah.
And that spoken word, we realize he is the word. We don't separate him to something else. And that's what we're pointing to. We can't point to anything else. Amen. And so I would say this. If in your heart, that's not what's burning in your heart. If you're not just burning in your heart saying, I got to point to him. I got to show people him. I want to. Then pray. Ask God to put that in there. Ask him to put that in there. And then you, from your heart, will live out this gospel. You'll live it from your heart because of the relationship you have with him. He needs to be number one on your heart.
Amen.
Amen. We want to live so close to him that he could find us as a tool that he could easily pick up and use. Just get so close. If I was a hammer, I'd just want to get right up here, right next to him where he was working, so that he might just reach over. Boy, there's a hammer. I'll just use that to manifest my word to this generation. Just get close to him. Get so close to him. Try your best. Make yourself, you can call a fast. You can call a time of mourning. You can call a time where you flip your soul. You can call for a time where you enter in into his presence and you cause yourself to come in before him, weeping as it were, saying, God, draw me closer. Fix me. The things that aren't right, clean them out. God, I gotta have you. I gotta be closer to you. You can do that. Right? And get in his presence. You'll find out that we're all in trouble without him.
That's right.
There's no big eyes, little U's. And that when we all get our relationship right with him, then our relationship with each other will be right. That's all we can do. But we just get so close to him, and the more you get close to him, the more you start loving your brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And when somebody does you wrong, you know they don't mean to.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. Scripture said, thinketh no evil.
Right?
Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, all that, see? That's what we should do. We so easily pick up on negative things and go that way, but no. When somebody, especially a brother or sister, if you think they've done you wrong, just say, you know what? I know my brother or my sister. They did not mean that.
That's exactly
that
right.
May appear to be that way to me, but that is not what it is.
Right.
And unless that keeps over and over
that's
and over,
it.
And you forgive them.
Yes, sir.
And so that's why Jesus said, they said, well, how many times you forgive them? Seven? He said, seven times 70. That's 490 times in a day.
Right.
Man, probably after four times, we'd be had it with our brother or sister. I'm not doing this no more. But Jesus said, see what I'm saying? We miss so short. So short. We say, that gospel in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, that's for little kiddies. That's just little kiddies. Really? I haven't attained to it yet.
No.
Think about it. See, he said, we got so much. And that's why I think when maybe that brother up there the other night, I think he might have mentioned, I don't know, but when a man thinketh that he knows something, he don't know anything. You think, oh, I prayed for somebody and God raised them up. Get out of my way. I'll pray for this person too. You don't know nothing. You see what I mean? It's him. Him and him alone. We've got to be connected to him. And I'll tell you what, if we're not connected to him, then we start getting pricklies on the outside to each other.
That's right.
And that's where it is, see? So we want to just all be focused to him.
Amen.
He is our star player. Amen?
That's right.
He's the one. And then while we're worshiping him, I will also, when I see him and you're seeing him, we'll also enjoy him in each other.
That's right. Exactly right.
Amen. We will enjoy him in each other.
Exactly right.
We love him for what he's done, and it's, you know, this world's falling apart. That's just fine. Let it fall apart. But in the process, we just want to just pull that much closer to him.
That's right.
You know, it's something to be excited about, to know the people that you fellowship with and you go to church with, that you're going to spend eternity with.
Amen, brother.
There's something about knowing that you've got life in you. We have trials. We have tribulations and things like that. But to see God, one by one, take away those things that hinder us.
Yeah.
Right? Those things that Satan tried to put on us. One by one, remove those obstacles and make us more like him.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. To know that you have that earnest within you, that you're coming forth, whether it's by grave or by rapture, you're coming forth because you've got that life within you. How do you know? Because you see it already working. All returning heavenward, as Brother Bram said, and who is this Melchizedek? It's already turned heavenward. Amen. We thank the Lord. Let's let musicians come. Amen. I trust that. I know that when you go to special meetings, and there always a really high expectation.
Yes.
And that's probably one reason why good meetings are good, is because people have high expectations. And I'm like, you know, Lord, these people coming back, and they're going to come home to their old shoe here at home. Lord, just want to speak to their hearts, you know, and just help them know that they've got a home church that they can rally to. That God is God and Noel, he's God here, he's God all over the place. And we just want to cling to him that much closer. He's good to us. And let's just bow our hearts to him. I raise this Heavenly Father. Lord, it's been so good to stroll up and down the scriptures this morning and talk about your program and that which we are quickened to. I realize, Lord, that as mortal beings, when we think about measuring up everything that's been spoken this morning, I realize that we just have to melt away in ourselves. But God, then we look at a promise that you have given us. Lord, that you would come down inside us. You would live in us and live out your righteousness. And that's all that we ask, Lord. That in this hour, when the rest of the world is going the way it is, we just ask, God, that you would live in us. Open our hearts to you and ask God that you would come in, all of you, and help us, Lord, not to shun any portion of you, any portion of your scriptures, Lord, but just to embrace it and teach us, Lord, that we would have knowledge, that we would understand, have understanding of what these things are all about. God, that we would live it in such a way that even people, when they watch us, even if they disagree, they can say, you know, that makes sense. There's a reason. Maybe I can't live up to it, but there's a reason why this person has to stand that way. I ask, God, that you'd help us. And I know that, Lord, that your Christian believers, that all around them, everywhere they go, should be a measure of grace, a measure of your Shekinah glory emanating out, that no matter where they go, that other lives are influenced. I ask, God, that you would grant that gift to us, your people. Lord, that each one of us would be able to come that closer to the things we heard today, but yet be able to influence those around us in this hour. We love you, Lord. Commit this time into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Create. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many knows he can renew that right spirit in you? Amen. Appreciate each one of you being here. I've said this before many times. I'll say it again. I remember years going through church at Pentecost, and even some of those years right here in this building, and not having music, not even having a piano player sometimes. And so I had many services where the worship was not. But the Lord has blessed us with really wonderful musicians, not that they're just good musicians, but good people. Good brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful for that. Because I've been there when I didn't have it. And it's good. You know, looked up some quotes here. Oh, it's been back when we did the musicians retreat. And I just kind of look at what the responsibilities of musicians were in church and stuff. And it's interesting to find out what Brother Branham said about it. It's a very important position. And so I just want to extend a thanks to all of our musicians. Some of them are not here right now, but anyway, thank you for being faithful to your post of duty. And I want to thank our little sister here for singing.
Yes, sir.
She had that beautiful voice. Amen. I don't know what song she was singing, but I want to find the title of it because it has a good spirit to it, and I appreciate
it.
I know she sung once before for us that here a while back that I told Brother Daniel she's really got
yes,
a voice.
Yes.
But you know what? Amen. More important than having just a voice, having the Spirit of God move through that.
That's all we need.
Amen. And I sense that with our sister. So we want to thank her for that. And say God bless you. But again, like I said, I have Brother Mike and Sister Becky with us. We rejoice with you because of what the Lord's brought you through. You know, we are praying too. You know, believing God would get you through. Thank you. God bless you. Be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, be.